And many of us are looking outside and thinking, yeah, okay, the sun's coming out, but it has not been that brilliant. And we were thinking of like maybe heading away, getting a quick holiday somewhere or other. And how do you fancy escaping to one of the most exclusive private islands in the world? It's Necker Island. It's owned by Sir Richard Branson. It's his very own private paradise situated in one of the most majestic and unspoilt areas of the Caribbean, the British Virgin Islands. Just one slight drawback. You need to have at least enough money to pay the £53,858 that's from per night for it. The man who has it listed on his website is Gary McCausland, and it's on Luxury Let. Gary, it's just, it is paradise, isn't it?
It's absolute paradise. I mean, but you need to be able to afford it. I mean, paradise does not come cheap, unfortunately.
No, but the one thing about this place is it is always booked up. Those people are out there that have the 53,850. And I'd love to know, how'd you come up with that figure, by the way? 850. Why not just make it 54K?
Well, I didn't actually come up with that. Richard Branson came up with that figure. Okay. No, I mean, on the website, we have properties on luxurylet.com from sort of £100 a night in Cornwall. Little luxury, beautiful cottages right up to the Necker Islands of this world. There's a ski chalet in Zermatt as well at £17,500 a night. And you sort of wonder who sort of books these type of things. But when you think about it, say in the city of London, you might have 10, 15, 20 friends who get together and they're all prepared to sort of chip in a couple of grand each or whatever it is to make it work. I mean, you put that all together, if you have a big bunch of people going out on a ski trip or going to the island, I mean, for example, Necker Island, you can have 20, 30 people in that, and you divide it between everyone, it can work, but it is obviously huge amounts of money.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it is silly money. But as you say, I mean, I am brilliant at justifying these things. I remember sitting at an event that was from a cruise company, and it was going to be cruising for wherever, and they broke it down, and I thought this was really clever. They broke it down into how much that was per day. And you think, do you know, that's very reasonable. That's, you know, there's what, 200 quid for your cabin, for all your meals, for all your drinks, for all your and I was, that's very cheap. It was still 17 and a half grand, you know, and you go, yeah. that you have to fork out.
Exactly. I mean, these things are, as we say, incredibly expensive, but if you can't afford them, they're definitely good crack, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Well, how did you get into doing this? Because, I mean, it is the sort of thing that we have seen more and more people. There's the likes of Owners Direct, Holiday Lettings, Airbnb. They're all taking off and really seem to be overtaking the main holiday and travel companies now. So you just saw a niche in there?
Well, you know, I'm a property professional. I own several properties, and I couldn't really find a platform to put sort of the good quality ones on. I mean, yes, there's the Airbnbs of this world. There are other sort of sites that you can list these properties on, but I wanted something that was sort of good quality and that the other properties were good quality and I could put them on. So couldn't find anything. So I decided to sort of build my own prototype website and see if it worked. So last year we came up with luxurylet.com. We put it up there and we got a phenomenal response from it. And we sort of launched it this year, 2016. And we have thousands of properties on there now in 60 countries. As I said, we call it 50 Shades of Luxury because it's from quite affordable luxury right up to the Necker Islands of this world that are very expensive. So it's taken off. We employ people in Northern Ireland. Investe and I have come on board and give us a grant for it as well. We're now going out for quite a massive funding round. We're hoping to employ a lot of people. So it's got the potential to be a huge global business, and it's very fun and it's exciting.
Well, as you say, luxury doesn't necessarily mean cheap. I mean, luxury can be affordable. It doesn't have to be way expensive. Little luxurious touches don't have to be expensive.
Correct. I mean, we call it affordable luxury, and that's the point about the site. I mean, I think people's sort of aspirations and standards nowadays, you want, you know, the best possible accommodation if you're going on holiday or travelling in business for the lowest price. So the big sort of selling point of luxurylet.com is that we're trying to get affordable luxury to people. So we have properties on in Belfast, some beautiful properties, and they're starting at £75 a night, and you can get two or three people in there, right up to the bigger properties. But luxury, you know, comes in all shapes, forms and sizes. And you find that most things, they do get past their 10 sort of box luxury tick we sort of vet everything before it goes on the site. But most properties will get on there because most properties are very good standard.
Well, you're talking properties, and as you say, you have quite a few properties in your portfolio, one of which was very high profile. It was Rory McIlroy House, formerly owned by Rory, that you now own. But, I mean, with you as a property developer and entrepreneur, it's, everything is, has a price. And if somebody wants to buy that, and it is for sale at the moment with the golf courses up the road.
Yeah, I mean, that is true. Everything has got a price. So if the price is £1,000 or if it's £1 million, there's a price in between there that somebody's going to pay you for the property. So again, that's market demand and supply. That's what drives the market. And you've got to get a price that you're happy with and that the purchaser's happy with. And that creates the market price, the market value. So that's really how it works.
Well, you must have seen a heck of a downturn, possibly over the last few weeks, certainly since Brexit. I saw, I think, figure today that properties in central London, which have managed to stay pretty steady throughout the whole property crash, are being cut by about 19,000 in the past 3 weeks.
Yeah, well, I think you might know this, but I'm building 58 apartments on the Dublin Road and a cafe bar underneath. And we've had a great response until this whole Brexit thing started. I mean, we've got at least 50% sold already, but it has slowed down dramatically in Brexit. I think Northern Ireland is insulated because we're starting from such a low base. Now, the likes of London, where I also do developing, is in trouble. And the main reason over there is the international market is sort of shying away from London at the moment, and that's got massive impacts. There's also George Osborne, who's obviously not Chancellor anymore, he brought in a lot of sort of major property taxes and brought VAT up to 12% and all sorts of stuff. And this has really affected the London market. So, yeah, you're seeing a lot of developers panic. And I've never been offered so many sites in London as I've been offered
really?
At the moment. Yeah. I mean, you couldn't get sites for love nor money a few years ago. And at the minute, they're thick, you know, they're firing at you. So there's a lot of supply coming on the market. Demand has weakened. And when that happens, prices start going down. So, and there's a lot of uncertainty, obviously, created by Brexit.
So do you think there is an optimism here in Northern Ireland, though, still?
Oh, I'm very positive about Northern Ireland. I think we've got the lowest property values in the UK. And I mean, you must always remember, you're going in to buy a property, you have to take a very long-term view in it. It's not a quick sort of in-out gig. I'm a chartered surveyor. I've been involved in property for a long, long time. You know, obviously location's important, what interest rates are doing important, demand and supply is important, market sentiment. And if you put it all together, I think Northern Ireland, we're coming off a low base. Property prices have been shown to be rising here. The Royal Institute of Chartered Surveyors have just done a survey, and so have Ulster Bank, saying that Northern Ireland's going to be the highest property price rises in the next 5 years in the UK, simply because we're so low. So we're just getting back in kilter with everywhere. I don't think there's going to be a boom or anything like that. So don't, you know, you need to still look at everything in the cold light of day and make very sensible decisions.
Well, as you say, making sensible decisions, you bought the former, what I used to go and sign on, the building down in Dublin Road, is that the one in Shaftesbury Square? Have you bought that one, or which one are you developing at the moment?
Yeah, ours is just, no, it's down a little bit. Right. It used to be a car park, and we're well out of the ground now. Yeah. We'll have it finished towards the end of this year. In fact, we'll have show apartments available for next week or so. So we've sold some off plan, but that wasn't the idea. I don't really like selling things off plan. I like people to go in, see them, feel them, touch them. It's quite a funky sort of concept for Northern Ireland. They're small apartments, more for young professionals, city workers, people that need a base and they need quality. So very much designed around an hotel type concept, but the apartments are very funky and very cool.
Because there was a time where people were just shying away from the city centre, did not want to live in the city centre, and you know, there was development going up there and it was lying empty. But now we do want to be back into the city centre again, just for, we don't want to have our cars and transport. We want to be able to walk. We want to be able to use public transport. We want to be able to use bicycles.
Correct. I mean, part of our policy and Belfast City Council's policy now is that any new schemes, they really want them to be car free. Now, we've got a full floor dedicated to bicycles. It's not an afterthought. When you buy an apartment, you get a £300 voucher towards a bicycle from Chain Reaction, again, supporting local businesses. And they have actually got a number of bikes that you can get for that price range. So we're very much into promoting sort of the use of bicycles. And you're right, that's the concept all the cities in the UK and across Europe are now using now. We need more bicycle lanes here. It needs to be safer to cycle around Belfast. There's no doubt about it. I cycle a lot in London. And I think we're quite a bit away from London. We probably need a mayor here. So if we can convince somebody to get us a Boris Johnson or somebody and start getting cycle lanes built, all the better.
Yes, we do have some very strange ones that are only go for about 3 yards. And you go, seriously, where am I meant to go now? This is bizarre. And also, I mean, it is a bit of a bugbear of mine. I did a cycle challenge many years ago with Sustrans, where the National Cycle Network opened up in 2000. We cycled from Belfast to Ballyshannon. So every night we were out sort of doing a bit of a recce. You know, we would drive to an area and then we would cycle, you know, about 20 odd, 30 miles. But we always reported back to Sustrans about ones that needed maintaining the cycle routes. You know, somebody, you know, they were underpasses, so kids had been drinking, so there were broken glass. So we'd always phone back the next morning. You know, it was straight through to Sustrans. By the way, just to let you know, they were, thanks very much. Somebody would be out and cleaning. So it is, we do need to have the maintaining of the cycle lanes as well, because it's so easy to pick up punctures as well whenever you're going along and you just get that little stone that just clicks your tyre.
Yeah. So I mean, it's a future. You can get an app to put in your bicycle now that will map. It's linked to sort of the sat-nav thing, and it will map the road and report back where there's potholes, if the cycle lane runs out, if there's issues, and if cycles have to go onto footpaths and things. So I think it is the future, and that's what people want. It's what I want. It's what I want for my kids. So we've got to get loads of safe cycle lanes in Belfast.
Yeah, I actually got caught in a pincer movement of two cyclists coming into work the other day past Central Station. There was one on the left-hand side and then one came up behind me on the outside lane. I went, are you mad, man? Seriously? There's traffic going everywhere. But anyway, yeah. it was a cyclist pincer movement. But anyway, the future is looking bright, we think, for Northern Ireland.
Yes,
and
it is.
And you've obviously been to Necker to check out whether it was all right to put onto your website.
Well, I'm still waiting for my invite.
Oh.
And, you know, I still can't afford 58,000 or whatever it is per night. So I think it'll be a while.
OK, well, to see whenever you get the call and you might want a holiday programme filmed on it, give me a ring.
OK, no problems.
Gary, lovely to talk to you as ever. Thanks very much indeed. And best of luck for the future.